Hi, this is Jenny Chapman, MP for Darlington, and this is our second podcast. And I'm here with Catherine and Billy and Pete, and our guest for this one is Dot Long. And lots of people listening will know Dot because she was a teacher at Hummersknott School in Darlington for quite a few years. Dot, how many
23
years?
23.
23 years, yeah, 23. Wow. And she was my English teacher. Back in the day. And she's here because I thought it would be really good to talk to somebody who's been around Labour politics in Darlington for a very long time and can tell us a bit about what got you involved initially, Dot.
Well, oddly enough, I was just thinking it's a parallel with the present situation, because in 1970, very much like now, we went into the election everybody thinking Labour would win.
Right.
And in fact, we went on holiday and went camping with our kids. And we were on our way back on a cross-channel ferry, and the news came through that we'd lost.
Right.
And I remember my husband and I, we said, we're going to have to join the Labour Party. We've got to do something. This is ridiculous. So that's how we joined. Now, he hasn't taken much of an interest because he thinks all Labour Party meetings are conducted in Swahili.
We don't make argument. It easy, do we?
But I keep telling him it's better now. Anyway, so, and I joined with Isabel Hartley and Stella Robson, both of whom I sorely missed. And we started a ward branch. And then we three, plus some other redoubtable ladies, we got quite involved in the all the feminist arguments of the early 70s.
Okay,
well.
In Darlington?
In Darlington.
Wow.
We tried to do our bit, yes.
Right.
I mean, I don't want this... This sounds a bit as though I'm dredging up, you know, like a Monty Python sketch or something. But it's easy to forget that in those days, I, for example, my experience, I was teaching at the College of Technology when I became pregnant with my first child. And in those days, you resigned before your baby was born.
Yes, of course.
You got maternity, you know, pay from the state, but your job wasn't kept open for you.
Right.
If you wanted contraceptive advice, until the late 60s, you had to take your marriage certificate to the family planning clinic.
Really?
No, kid you not.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That ended about, because it was private, well, it was, you know, it was a sort of not-for-profit thing, but it wasn't
right.
NHS.
What,
family
for
planning clinics?
Not NHS?
No.
Wow.
Not until the late 60s.
I didn't know that.
Married in 67.
Right.
And 66, I was obviously about to get married.
Yes.
And was told, come back when
Well, there's a whole bunch of questions I could go into there, but I think we'll skirt
but
over
I think
that
I think is why we started on the feminist stuff first.
Yes.
If you count that as feminist, I think it's just human rights.
Yeah,
itself.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Wow.
And then obviously got involved in the Labour Party and local government and so on.
Yeah. God. So going from being involved and sort of coming into it through the shock of an election defeat and then getting involved in feminist politics, it's still quite a leap to then becoming a councillor.
Well,
how did that come about?
Even that, as you're aware, if we need 52 candidates in local elections, as we did then, there was a lot of pressure on people to stand.
Yeah.
And I was asked to stand for, it was a more complicated war now, Central and Northgate.
Right.
And wasn't expected to win. That was in 76.
Okay.
And in fact, I did win. I was one of the few Labour gains.
Was so, that a shock to you?
Well, in a way, I was quite keen to do it. Though I did step down again in 79 because my daughter was a rather difficult adolescent. And I thought I'd better concentrate on her for a while. But then I was re-elected in 83. Yes,
in Northgate again.
In Northgate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was a lot of people got into the council because they were active in the Labour Party.
So you were a councillor for how many years?
35 in total.
35 years. Goodness me.
Yeah.
And the one thing you are sort of quite well known for is the Arts Centre, isn't it?
Sad story.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Well, again, that was connected with my two particular friends, Stella and Isabel. Isabel was on the trust when the Arts Centre was first municipalised nearly terrible word. It started off as a trust, you know, because the Arts Centre was a college originally, a training college. What to do with the building when the training college closed. Mm. A trust took it on in, would it be 79, I suppose.
Mm.
Anyway, and it was difficult. So in 81 it would be, it was brought into the council when we had money, though, in those days.
Mm.
And as you know, it trotted along very nicely for 30 years.
Yes, a lot of us had our first ever drinks in the Arts Centre. Yeah. It used to be.
And it was a safe environment.
It was.
For exactly that.
Yeah.
And indeed, do you remember Chris Wardell?
Yes.
Who
yes.
started the first discussion group on a Monday night for the gay community.
Yeah.
Because again, it was a safe environment.
Yeah.
So that they could, you know, come out, not only in that sense, but in a
yeah.
social sense, go to a public place and not be, you know, be it abused.
It was very popular so with young people as well. I remember. Mm. Just sort of going, and you would sort of left alone. You were let be. You could get some
yes.
chips, and you could get a,
yes.
you know, and you could make them last all afternoon. And yes. It was a really nice environment.
Mm.
And I remember, obviously, the folk club.
Yes.
And the spring thing.
And the wonderful
my dad
garden
was involved
bar.
With.
Yes, yeah, of course.
The
spring thing, and of course, we still have the folk connection with the Labour Party, with Chris Taylor.
We do a bit,
so on,
don't we?
And Ham Bones.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? Yes. Sort of beardy folkies and jumpers.
It is a bit. Meeting in the back rooms of pubs.
Yeah, we still do a little bit of that. Mm, that's
indeed.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you feel now, though, that the Arts Centre's gone?
Well, it's just the whole thing about the cuts. Mm. I mean, every time I'm watching the demolition of the back part of the Arts Centre, I just think... 2008, bloody bankers, you know.
Mm.
Sorry.
That's okay, don't worry.
But that's my train of thought.
Mm.
You know, we're watching all these things mm-hmm. but having to go and
yeah.
in some senses literally having to go, i.e. be demolished, and it
yeah.
all dates back to that mess caused by, sorry, global capitalism in my view.
Mm.
And the fact that bankers were so unaware and nobody knew
yeah.
quite how complex the whole thing had become.
Yes.
Starting with the mortgage market in the US of A.
And we're paying for it.
And we're all paying for it personally. You
yes.
know, that personally.
Yes.
You know, we've lost our nice place to have a drink.
Yeah.
We're watching buildings being demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically not fair.
So that's retired from the council, though.
I did.
Last year.
Well, I feel a bit of a heel, really, but... I did four years when it was post-cuts, you know, it was post-austerity.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of giving up in 2010, and I thought, no, you know, we've had the good times.
You've got to stay
I really
fight.
Ought to hang on in there. But it got a bit much, really, by this thinking another round of all this.
Mm.
And on a personal level, I was just, you know, I was a bit depressed. And lying awake at night worrying about it.
Really?
Oh, literally. Yeah. And I think everybody is, you know.
Mm. I spoke to someone this morning who's a counsellor at the moment still, and she said pretty much what you've just said, that she does wake up at night and she frets over the decisions that they're being made to take and just doesn't feel comfortable in the role anymore.
No.
Feels that where she had a great connection with the local community, feels that there's...
Mm.
suspicion now?
Well, that's it. I mean, if you could only get over the point that local councillors, of whatever colour, to be fair, but particularly us, Labour, having to, you know, put into practice these unnecessary cuts.
Mm-hmm.
We're councillors because we love Darlington and we want the very best for it, like you do.
Yeah.
And the implication that somehow, you know, we're doing it because we're, you know, we get something out of it or whatever. We are par excellence, you know, Darlington citizens and who are perhaps more passionate about it than some of these dreadful trolling people.
Oh,
you know,
well,
it's a bit like blaming a social worker when some dreadful person has killed a child, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Nobody wants that.
How does it look to you now? Because you're not on the council anymore, and you seeing what's happening now with the budget, and they're, you know, losing so much money, and there's been extra money spent on councils in the south, and the decisions that are having to be made here.
Yes,
I mean, you just feel, I'm so glad I'm not doing that anymore?
Well, I have to say, I almost feel as bad about it. I don't feel the responsibility so much, but as a member of the Labour Party, one does, in a sense. But yes, the feelings aren't any different. You know.
I find it just, you feel quite powerless because these things are happening. And I feel that residents look to you to stand up for them and to be able to do something about it. And having to explain that actually your ability to change what's happening is so limited.
That's right.
It's incredibly frustrating and that makes the anger worse.
That's right. I mean, you can be as ingenious as you like. You know, there are some ingenious solutions, I think, some clever things that have been found to do. But is it 2.5 million we're left with to do all the discretionary services? It's just not possible. And then, of course, people say, well, set an illegitimate budget. You know, you can set an illegal budget and just spend the money we need to. But if that happened, we'd be taken over by the state. And other people who don't share our values,
exactly,
like you were talking about earlier, would just come in and do it anyway.
So
we've got to hang on in there and do it to the best of our ability without in any way endorsing any of the national policies that have driven us to doing it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But I don't believe austerity is necessary. And in any case, the austerity argument was we'd have it cracked by 2015.
Oh, it's completely failed.
Well, that was a lie.
I know.
Well, it's either a lie or a total failure. And
both.
Both. And now it's become just doctrinaire.
Well, it's totally ideological.
It is.
And it's all about positioning to become leader of the Tory party.
Absolutely.
And wanting to appear tough.
Yeah.
Because that's what suits his backbenchers.
And shrinking the state, which also does.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can I just ask you a bit about women in politics? Because, I mean, certainly growing up, there were a group of women councillors in Darlington who always seemed quite, you know, feisty and never were put down in meetings or gave as good as they got. And I think a lot of the, you know, politics can be quite testosterone-y.
Yes.
So, I mean, how have you, what changes have you seen in this sort of, as a elected woman?
Well, the overt sexism's gone. I mean, there was overt sexism. I mean, obviously, it was when we were all younger.
Yeah.
And therefore, slightly more attractive.
No
but,
way.
You know, we got a bit of that when we were in our 20s and 30s.
Right.
But, I think women are... I don't think there's any difference in the minds of their colleagues, you know, whether it's a man or a woman fulfilling a particular role. I have to say the last two leaders of the Labour group were inclined to rather roll their eyes when one of us went on too long. And we do tend to go on a bit too long. Women, I mean.
No, you mustn't say that.
I know,
that's terrible. If I said that, you'd tell me
anything
off.
Else. Isn't that dreadful? No, but actually, there's some research. As an ex-English teacher, women are more verbal.
I would never contradict you.
But yes, you're quite right. I don't think we're still not doing that brilliantly. Cabinet in Darlington's still only two women and six men.
It's not good enough, is it?
Whereas the new President of Canada has got a cabinet of 50% women and men. And I read somewhere when someone commented, he said, it's 2016, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just no excuse for it, really, because there are able women around.
Well, there are. And I think one of the things we need to do is find young women who want to get involved and support them.
Indeed.
And one of the things I do when I go to colleges is always sort of try and, you know, identify somebody who's maybe interested.
That's
or
right.
Ask, you know, who's interested in being a counsellor, who wants to be an MP one day.
Yeah.
And over the years, more and more are actually saying, yeah, I would like to do that.
That's right. Without it being remarkable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think we need to find ways of supporting them and encouraging them and, you know, giving them the first chance.
Yes. Having said that, I see it in my granddaughter, who's 16, at school in the town, same school. I do find girls are very much under the cosh. And I don't just mean the sort of body image stuff.
Right.
But if they do put themselves forward like that, I think they, in more subtle ways, I still think they have difficulty within their own age group. I do worry about social attitudes, I have to say.
Yeah. Sort of fear of failure or fear of looking foolish.
And yes, and in you know, in my day, yes, you were criticised, but it was a letter in the Echo. It wasn't this
on
technological
social media
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hugely stressful. So if you put your head above the parapet as a public representative, you're bound to get it, you know, much
well, maybe
more,
that's,
I think.
One of the ways we need to be supportive is
definitely
by helping people to prepare for that and then knowing how to handle it.
Yeah.
I know I've had some great advice, which is don't feed the trolls, I've been told.
Well, exactly. Least said, soonest mended, I think, is an excellent
Well,
proverb.
I think that is a really good place to end. Thank you, Dot. And that's been really interesting.
Oh,
and
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to sort of listen to each other on a local level about experiences and think about how we can encourage more people from different backgrounds and
absolutely,
you know, certainly more young women to get involved in politics.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks,
Doc. Thank you.